All right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Friday, September 16th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Friday, everybody. It is a chilly 54 degrees and partly cloudy here in upstate New York. But it is pleasant. I would much rather have weather like this than baking, sweating humidity. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Blood-Brain Barrier, Nanoparticles, Brains, Frequency, and Biotech. We talked about a lot of different facets of the Precision Medicine Initiative that we have been talking about over the last week, over the last couple years, but really we dug into different pieces of it over this last week, and one was the Brain Project and some of the crazy things that they are doing and discovering in the abilities to control and manipulate not only brain chemicals, but brain circuits, be able, all in the name of curing cancer, be able to zap tumors in the brain utilizing things such as little magnetic ferrous oxide particles. You know, I had some issues yesterday getting connected. It wasn't a good day yesterday. I'm feeling much better today. And when I edited the show for the 5 p.m. airing, I put in a couple video clips, audio clips, to be able to listen to it. But they were video clips that looked at a few technologies that they are now using in the name of precision medicine, and those did not air in the morning. So we're going to talk about a little bit of that today. And then after the show yesterday, I started digging a little bit deeper and I found some really disturbing connections that I wanted to point out. And some of the other things that we've talked about over the last, few months or so are these new internet drones and loon balloons between Google and Facebook. I mentioned the satellite that blew up yesterday. That was Zuckerberg's satellite to be able to beam internet to all of Africa. That was going to be a 5G drone. We also have Google, who put in an application with the FCC to not only be able to do 5G ubiquitous internet, and originally, again, I believe that was supposed to be Africa, and then out of the blue, they changed their minds, and it was going to be over the continental U.S. But what was interesting about the FCC application, and we looked at that before, but I pulled it back up yesterday, is that A, number one, much of it is redacted, and of course it was all in the name of corporate secrets. They didn't want to give it all away. But a few of the things that we found were that not only did we have 5G, but we also had potentially some tetrahertz radiation, and I think that may be where we're going to kick it off on Monday, is looking at where millimeter wave and tetrahertz radiation falls on the spectrum of things. I discovered, and I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole, but I discovered that actually the military has been experimenting with millimeter wave for a very long time and utilizing it as a form of LIDAR. And LIDAR now, we've seen that there's some new LIDAR chips the size of a dime that have been developed by either Harvard or MIT. But millimeter wave allows them to see through walls, essentially, see through roofs, see through. There was just a news story the other day about them being able to read a book without opening its cover using these same technologies. And one of the most disturbing things, we talked yesterday about how we are bathed on a daily basis with electromagnetic frequency that we cannot see. And remember, many times I have brought this point up, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. And that's why when people point at me and call me a tinfoil hat-wearing lunatic, I just kind of shake my head, because we're at this point, not only are there lots of things that we can't see that are going on, and we can look at frequencies, we can look at biological material, and we've dug deep into the biowarfare program and just some of the mad science gone mad going on in labs right now with no real concerns or security. We are influenced directly by these things we cannot see. And the world has gotten to the point where our only limitation to insanity is the lack of imagination. And I hate to tell you, but there's a lot of imagination out there right now. I came across a story the other day. We had read about the nanoparticles in your brain, and now they're discovering that we all have these little magnetite ferrous oxide particles all embedded in our brain tissue, and they're, of course, calling it an epidemic in populated industrialized areas such as Mexico City, and the other place was somewhere in the UK, I don't remember. And right now this article isn't scrolling properly, so I'm not going to be able to find it. Oh, hold on, here we go. Manchester, England. That they are saying that this magnetite, toxic, magnetic, nanoparticle, spherical, that they're finding embedded in people's brains is all industrially generated. Of course, this is all going to be in the name of getting rid of fossil fuels, in the name of climate change, that they're going to use this new Swiss Army knife to come after the way we do business today. But I came across a story from September. This was a year ago, just over a year ago, September 14th, 2015, titled, "This is Your Brain. This is Your Brain as a Weapon." And it's actually a very long, long, long article. So I don't think that I'm going to even start at the top. But I did find a section on here that talked about some of our history in regards to mind manipulation. Now, just stop for a second because, yeah, I'm going to go down a Friday stretch your brain and thinking exercise here. But I don't want it to sound lunatic, because when people start looking at different things such as magnetic nanoparticles embedded in our brains, large technical corporations that are embedded deeply with not only the federal government and the Precision Medicine Initiative, but also with the DOD and DARPA, such as Google and Facebook. Remember, Regina Duggan's been hopping around a lot. And that satellite project was actually her baby. Talked about moonshots. It's all about moonshots. Cancer is a moonshot, too. Remember yesterday we mentioned Joe Biden. Listen to that clip with Jennifer Doudna with CRISPR technology. It's all about in the name of curing cancer. Guys, this is all one big moonshot. And they're coming after our brains. The last bastion of freedom, where you can still have your own private thoughts and your own private feelings, but not for much longer. So anyway, in this article out of foreignpolicy.com, mind manipulation by governments. This is talking about our safety. It's talking about our history. So don't think that this has not already been tried before. Mind manipulation by governments would be safely in the domain of conspiracy theorists and fictional thrillers if world powers didn't have such a checkered past with neuroscience. Now, we have a global initiative right now called the Brain Initiative, with full White House backing and an executive order. It's all about fueling the new 21st century economy. We have this 21st Century Cures Act. It's going to line us all up to be guinea pigs. We have this bilateral unification scientific agreement with Israel on neuroscience. Israel is working very long and hard at trying to crack not only the secrets of the brain, but being able to identify future criminals by behavior. We've talked about behavioral analytics. Also by even face shape, and relating that back to genetic, don't want to say anomalies, but statistically genetic shapings of, let's say, the jaw, the eyes, the nose, the ear points. They do have statistics on those already built into the DNA databases. And they will be able to utilize these technologies in the future to determine whether or not you are considered a threat, even if you haven't done anything. We've read about experiments where they've already been able to suck images out of people's brains. They've been able to see people's dreams and read people's thoughts. And not only read people's thoughts, but take those thoughts, that little voice in your head, and do it text-to-speech to be able to print it out on paper like a transcript. The transcript in your head. People wouldn't want to hear the transcript in my head, I hate to tell you. But then turn that transcript in your head into a voice. Now, guys, that is like science fiction on steroids. So let's get back to the story here. So yes, mind manipulation by governments would be safely in the domain of conspiracy theorists and fictional thrillers if the world powers did not have such a checkered past with neuroscience. In one of the bizarrest sets of experiments conducted between 1981 and 1990, Soviet scientists built equipment designed to disturb the functioning of neurons in the body and brain by exposing people to various levels of high frequency electromagnetic radiation. What? Oh, yes, it has already been tried before. The results of this research are still unknown, but over many decades, the Soviet Union spent more than $1 billion on such mind control schemes. Perhaps the most notorious examples of U.S. abuses of neuroscience occurred from the 1950s into the 1960s, when Washington pursued a wide range of research programs to find ways of monitoring and influencing human thoughts. Now, we even take like just a cursory example of what is happening right now in manipulating human thoughts. I mean, we've already established, I think, quite well that they have been using psychology against us since at least the early 1900s with Edward Bernays and being able to manipulate public opinion and to sway us into the direction that they want to push us to, all in the name of consumerism. But now we've gotten to a more insidious plan, and all we have to do is look at mainstream news. All we have to do is take a look at the crafted narrative that is being pushed out on a daily basis and see how the people who aren't paying attention, who aren't asking the right questions or thinking critically, are just believing what they are being spoon-fed by propaganda mouthpieces like CNN. So back in the 1950s and 60s, of course, we all know about CIA Project, codename MKUltra, which promoted research and development of chemical, biological, and radiological, materials capable of employment in clandestine operations to control human behavior. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a whole nother component to some of the things we've been talking about here in regards to frequencies, manipulation, and magnetic nanoparticles. And that other component is radiation. I've been digging deep into some really technical documentation with astrophysics and some of the military experiments that they were doing as part of the Manhattan Project while they were exploding nuclear weapons into the atmosphere. It was causing almost what they would call a transparency, where they were able to get a better view of some of the astrophysical particles that are coming into our atmosphere and measure them in a very specific way. And radiation being spewed into this atmosphere allowed them to be able to manipulate the upper atmosphere by causing it to be overly excited. Now, there are a lot of different pieces that are happening now is we are seeing, you know, Fukushima is out of control. I'm going to tell you, 5.5 years now, I have been saying to myself, how can this be allowed to happen? How could this be allowed to melt down? How could this be allowed to go completely untethered? But the more I am reading about these atmospheric experiments and these different ways that they are manipulating not only our atmosphere, but matter in general, radiation is a key component. So we're going to put that aside for now, but that is, I have quite a number of tabs open on that. So I'm going to keep picking, and maybe we'll do another day on that next week as we start digging into frequencies, because there's a big piece there. I need to find myself an astrophysicist to start asking questions. All right, back to the story. So we're talking about MKUltra, though, 50s and 60s, right still when they were doing atmospheric nuclear explosions. Anyway, CIA investigations, codenamed MKUltra, promoted, quote, research and development of chemical, biological, and radiological materials capable of employment in clandestine operations to control human behavior, according to a 1963 CIA Inspector General report. Some 80 institutions. Now, tell me if this does not sound a lot like exactly what is happening today. Chemical, biological, radiological research and materials, government agencies involved, and some 80 institutions, including 44 colleges and universities, were involved, but they were often funded under the veil of what? Scientific goals, leaving the participants at those colleges and universities unaware that they were carrying on the CIA's bidding. Now, guys, call me a conspiracy theorist, but I am seeing the past repeat itself. This is very, very, very similar to what I believe is going on right now. Version 2.0 for the 21st century. MKUltra program's most infamous aspects, of course, were involved with dosing individuals, some unwittingly, with LSD. If you could imagine that one. Whoops. How could you not know that you were dosed with LSD? You'd be going to see a psychiatrist. Oh my God, there's monsters coming out of walls. One Kentucky man was administered the drug for 174 consecutive days. Equally harrowing, however, were the MKUltra projects that focused on mechanisms of extrasensory perception and electronic manipulation, ding, of subjects' brains, as well as attempts to gather, interpret, and influence the thoughts of others. And at this time, this was through hypnosis and psychotherapy. But now we know that they can gather and interpret your thoughts, not only through direct reading of the brain, like we've established in other shows, but also through your behavior, as well as just the way you look and some of your genetic. I don't know, facial and bodily traits. I just read something the other day too, that they could tell genetics by your walking gait, which I thought was somewhat bizarre. In 2011, according to figures tabulated by Margaret Kozel, a professor at the Georgia Institute of Technology, the Army set aside $55 million. The Navy set aside $34 million. And the Air Force set aside $24 million to pursue neuroscience research in 2011. Now, notice too, they don't even mention DARPA. But DARPA has been like the root of all evil in the middle of all this. The U.S. military, it should be noted, is the primary funder of various scientific fields, including engineering and computer science. And in 2014, IARPA, the Intelligence Advanced Research Project Activity, a research organization that develops cutting-edge technologies for the U.S. intelligence agencies. So DARPA, of course, is for the military. IARPA is DARPA for the intelligence alphabet agencies, pledged another $12 million to design performance-enhancing techniques, including, and we talked about this yesterday, electrical stimulation of the brain for, quote, optimized human adaptive reasoning, that is, to make their analysts smarter. The real energy, however, is emanating from DARPA, our favorite love to hate, an agency of international intrigue and envy. DARPA funds about 250 projects at any given time, recruiting and leading teams of experts from academia and industry to work on ambitious, highly defined assignments. And remember, they are called moonshot projects. DARPA's knack for funding visionary projects that remake the world, ding, such as the internet, GPS, and the stealth fighter, just to name a few, is unparalleled. In 2011, DARPA, which has a modest, by defense standards, annual budget of $3 billion, slated $240 million for neuroscience research alone, and it has already committed another $225 million to the first few years of what? Oh, the Brain Initiative, ding, ding. And only $50 million less than the project's top funder, which happens to be the National Institute of Health. Again, another one of our love-to-hates during that same period. With DARPA's game-changing model and international cachet, perhaps it was only a matter of time before other world powers began emulating it. This January 2016, India announced that it would reshape its defense research and development organization to be along the lines of DARPA. Oh my God. Like, so now all the wannabes are going to be just like DARPA. China's also been doing it. I know I had read something about that. And last year, Russia's military announced $100 million support of their newly minted Foundation for Advanced Research. In 2013, Japan keeps coming into a lot of these stories. Not only does Japan have the triple meltdown, remember, Japan is our bitch from a long time ago, but Japan is also where we read that research out of, where they had genetically modified mosquitoes to turn them into flying vaccinators, Japan. Yes, that Japan. In 2013, Japan made public the creation of an agency with DARPA of the United States in mind, in the words of their science and technology minister. It has been dubbed JARPA for Japan by some observers. The European Defense Agency was established in 2001, answering the call for a European DARPA, and there are even efforts to export the DARPA model to corporations such as where? Google, yes, that was where not only did we have Regina Duggan, but we had DARPA Dan, both. Go to Google. DARPA Dan has remained at Google, and now Regina Duggan has slithered over to Facebook. That DARPA model is being cookie-cuttered all over the planet. Mad science gone mad with a black ops budget. Behind closed doors, down long, dark hallways, splattered with blood. DARPA. What role neuroscience will play at these research centers has yet to be determined. However, given recent progress in brain technologies, DARPA's interest in it and the new hub's desire to follow the Pentagon's lead is likely the Fields will get at least some, if not substantially, more attention. Robert McCrate, a former U.S. Senate Department official who specializes in arms control, among other security issues for over two decades, says that this quote-unquote competitive environment, competitive environment into sucking your brain dry, guys, this competitive environment could feed into a sort of neurological space race, a contest to control and to commoditize neurons. The subsequent risk is that research will be channeled toward weaponization, toward making the brain a tool for fighting wars more effectively. So not only do we have to worry about our government coming up with mad science, freaky technologies to be able to potentially manipulate our thoughts, to read your thoughts, to determine whether or not you might be a potential and future threat. But we also have to worry about other governments being able to manipulate you, potentially remotely. Guys, this is science fiction gone awry. I don't even know how to describe what I am seeing right now. If they can beam things from the sky, and remember Wernher von Braun, again, the Germans, I'm telling you, Operation Paperclip figures a lot more than we ever thought. And this whole merger with Bayer and Monsanto that I mentioned yesterday, you know, Bayer was the one that was manufacturing Cyclone B in Germany. That Bayer. We might dig into Bayer next week also, but the fact that Bayer just bought Monsanto, who controls a large majority of the world's seed crop, and two of the biggest agricultural chemical manufacturers in the world have just partnered up. Should be very, very frightening to you, especially when you understand the connections between our biological and chemical warfare program that never ended. Synthetic biology, which is continuing in the lab. Monsanto's experimentation and much of the genetic modification that was done in the very beginning that included not only genetically modifying foods, but included making edible vaccines within food. You look at now what's going on with mosquitoes and gene drives and how they could wipe out an entire population all one fell swoop. That doesn't just apply to mosquitoes. Mosquitoes just happen to be the canary in the coal mine. And then you tie that to precision medicine. And specifically right now, the Brain Project. Guys, this isn't a good picture at all. There is no weapon that we have that'll be able to combat what is happening right now. So the subsequent risk of all of this brain research and manipulation on a global level is that this research will be channeled toward weaponization, toward making a brain a tool for fighting wars more effectively. All of this, genetic engineering, remember, these are all new 21st century weapons of mass destruction. It isn't hard to imagine what this might look like today. A head cap equipped with electrodes gathers from the scalp. Someone's electroencephalographic EEG brain signals relevant only for an intended purpose, like kicking a ball. But tomorrow, The EEG captured electrodes could surreptitiously collect weaponry access codes, and likewise, a BMI, brain-machine interface, could become a data siphon used, say, to hack into an enemy spy's thoughts. And arguably more frightening, if terrorists, hackers, or other criminals were to acquire such neurotechnologies, they could use the tools to engineer single-minded assassins or steal personal information such as passwords or credit card numbers. And I'm going to take this a step further. We just found out yesterday from Newsweek that our brains are loaded with magnetic ferrous oxide magnetite spherical nanoparticles that make our brains able to be manipulated by electromagnetic frequencies. And I'm going to play you a video here in just a minute or two in regards to how right now they're experimenting with some of that technology, all in the name of curing neuroglastomomas, or whatever they're called, glastoboma, brain tumors, glastiobinomas, whatever, glastionomas. I know what they are. I don't have to be able to pronounce them. And let's just finish this last paragraph. I'm going to listen to that clip. Troublingly, little seems to be preventing these scenarios from materializing. Ding, ding, ding. Very few international agreements or even national laws. Again, like, guys, there are no holds barred anywhere with any of this technology. You know, they keep touting we're in the sixth great extinction. Ding. Yes, here it comes. We have species dying out all over the planet like never before seen. But how interestingly, not only do we have species dying out everywhere, but we have all these new, never before seen bacteria. Is that new Fractobacter? Some new weird-ass bacteria they're finding in fracking pools. And I don't remember what the number was. 35 new branches of the tree of life of species of bacteria found in puddles, waterways, in some radioactive contaminated waterway in Colorado, just out of the blue, never before seen. We read yesterday about another mysterious illness that's affecting all these school children in Manhattan, Kansas, where they moved. Good old Plum Island. Yeah, Plum Island. Operation Paperclip Scientist, Plum Island. Biological Chemical Warfare Program for the United States, Plum Island. It used to be off the coast of the U.S. They moved it right to the heartland in the middle of Tornado Alley, Plum Island, in Manhattan, Kansas. We now have mysterious illness outbreaks happening to school children there. People, every single day that we are here, I think we need to be grateful for. When I look at, I mean, the more threads I pull and the more horrifyingly inept we have been with these technologies, that one drop, just one drop, could wipe out millions. We need to, when we wake up in the morning, we need to start thinking about those that we love and why we love this planet and do something. We need to do, I don't know what we can do, but the light needs to be shown on these cockroaches that are selling out humanity. They are selling out the planet. They are selling out life, all in the name of that dangling carrot of being gods, to be able to manipulate and control the world down to an atomic level. That's what this is all about. And the biggest megalomaniac to get their first wins, he who dies with the most toys wins. Remember that one? So this last paragraph, troublingly, little seems to be preventing these scenarios from materializing. Very few international agreements or even national laws effectively protect personal privacy, and none pertain directly to brain technologies. And when it comes to dual use and weaponization, yeah, like I said, all in the name of precision medicine, but it's all in the name of being able to manipulate and control. Much far fewer barriers exist, exposing the human brain as a vast, lawless territory. Guys, it is a neural weapon. It is not biological. It is not chemical. It is electronic, says Mary Chevalier, a professor of public policy at Rutgers University. And it's a critical distinction that it is not biological or chemical, because the two existing UN treaties, and these are the ones that I always talk about, that I can never remember what it's called, that Nixon inked, that supposedly Wink got rid of Plum Island. The two existing UN treaties, the Biological Weapons Convention, more affectionately known as BWC, and the Chemical Weapons Convention, more affectionately known as the CWC, that in theory were to be used to limit the abuses of brain technologies, but it contains no provision for electronic arms races. So yeah, you know, we're all doing it in the name of precision medicine now and being on the defensive, like Nixon said, to protect ourselves against foreign entities. But we're not developing any technologies like that to use for warfare, no. But guess what? Brain technologies are not covered. Neither is cyber warfare. And indeed, these documents weren't written in such a way as to cover all emerging trends, which now means that certain weapons can be regulated only after they exist. So, you know what, guys? There is 000 regulation on any of this. So now we got to take a look at, I'm going to see if I can connect here. Hold on. I already called myself, so I should be able to just join the call. So now we look at the fact that they announced yesterday, and they just discovered it for the very first time. It says microscopic analysis has shown for the very first time tiny magnetic particles from the air, from pollution, are lodged in human brains. Researchers believe that the large volume, so it's not just a little bit, it's a large volume of magnetite particles that are found in the brain suggest a possible link with Alzheimer's. Now, of course, we have this epidemic of brain-wasting diseases that's going on right now, and they thought maybe it was from our aluminum pans we used, or our deodorants, or whatever. There's aluminum everywhere. But now they're thinking maybe it's from pollution. They're not saying what kind of pollution. They're not saying. They said that it's combustion of some kind. Maybe combustion in iron, like in an engine, or in a stove. What I found, I just took one search in Google. I searched some geoengineering and magnetite and found out that there have been all these really fancy scientists at big places such as Calgary University that have been talking about using magnetite aerosols in the atmosphere as part of a solar radiation management program. I couldn't believe it. I almost fell over. Like, it was almost too easy to find that connection. So if they've been aerosolizing stuff like this, we have John Brennan talking about us already doing a solar radiation management program, then it would just lead, ergo, that those of us who are inhaling it, and remember, the easiest way to get to the brain is through the olfactory bulb. For nanotechnology, we've established that a few times. So if we're inhaling this stuff that's being sprayed in our atmosphere, regardless of if it's from combustion in an engine, or a wood-burning stove, or solar radiation management, the fact remains that our brains are already loaded now with a substance that would be easily manipulated at some point in the future by an electromagnetic frequency. Now, we're going to try to join my call here. Hey, there we go. Maybe. Yeah, it looks like I'm connected. All right, let's see first. I want to play a clip just to refresh your memory. This is a pig mind clip in regards to this brain contamination that they have now announced they found. Let's see if it goes.
Tiny magnetic particles from air pollution have for the first time been found lodged in human brains. The discovery of a possible causal link between dirty air and Alzheimer's disease. Researchers used microscopic and spectroscopic analysis to find deadly magnetite particles distinct looking from those that form naturally in the brain.
Seeing these particles with their very distinctive morphologies and size distributions tells you that they haven't been dissolved. They look like they looked when they were in the atmosphere. And as well as being in the atmosphere, they're now, we see them in the brain. Because
they're in the atmosphere, guys. It doesn't matter how they got there, and she said they're deadly and toxic.
Magnetite is such a dangerous mineral for the brain. Looking for and identifying magnetite in the human brain, that's why it's significant.
Magnetite is a magnetic toxic mineral long associated with neurodegenerative diseases. Particles under 200 nanometers in diameter can enter the brain directly through the nose by breathing. Samples of 37 individual brains from people living in air pollution hotspots, Mexico City and Manchester, showed some magnetite particles under 5 nanometers in diameter. Although not claiming a definite link between the particles and others, the team thinks future research on the possibility will.
If pollution-derived magnetite particles are a substantial causal link involved in neurodegenerative disease, that drives, A, the individual level of trying to reduce their own exposure, but B, policymakers to try to do something to reduce the health burden. Alzheimer's disease may be a modern epidemic of our own making.
It's believed that 44 million people globally suffer forms of dementia, with Alzheimer's by far the most common.
Think about this.
Hold on.
What better weapon of mass destruction do the powers that be have, especially when there are those of us who don't seem to be falling for a lot of their narrative, especially now? How great would it be for them to have us start forgetting things and have neurodegenerative disorders where our brains start wasting away? So even those of us who saw through the veil of lies, those of us who dug into the lessons of history and start seeing it repeating right now, calling bullshit on what they're doing, eventually we'll be neutralized when our memories start failing, when our abilities to critically think start failing. So now I have another clip that I want you to hear. This was in the archive yesterday, but I didn't air it live. And this is in regards to these ferrous oxide particles that they are using in these new brain imaging technologies that will allow them to use different frequencies. I don't know what it is in this case. I don't remember. To be able to not only open up the cells to pull in these nanoparticles, but then as they vibrate, they get hot. And when they get hot, in this case, they make the tumor explode and the cell die. But let's just stretch our imaginations a little bit further, since we already know that we have these ferrous oxide materials in our brain. And yes, per Wikipedia, magnetite is a mineral, and one of the main iron ores, its chemical formula is Fe3O4, and it is one of the oxides of iron. Magnetite is ferromagnetic. It is attracted to a magnet, and it can become magnetized to become a permanent magnet itself. Now, guys, so magnetite is a ferrous oxide, the same family of minerals, of particles that they are using in the brains that then they can vibrate heat up and cause brain cells to die. Like I said, it's a tumor in this case. But let's just stretch our imagination just a tiny little bit. So I'm going to connect again. Oh, it sounds like it's raining, but it's not. All right, let's see if we can hear this one. Fighting cancer with magnetic nanoparticles.
The centerpiece of the MagForce Nano Cancer Therapy is the nanoparticle, consisting of iron oxide. The particle is covered by a patented coating which ensures a good stability and division of the iron oxide particles in the tumor tissue. It additionally supports the process by which the particles are absorbed into the cancer cells. The small size of the particle is decisive for the therapy. The diameter measures some 20 nanometers and is thus 500 times smaller than a red blood cell.
Now we're going to stop. 20 nanometers. We just heard that scientists say that the ones that they are finding in some people's brains are 5 nanometers, even smaller. You need 20 nanometers to be able to get it inside. Guys, these are in our brain, and they will be able to manipulate these. And as we are looking now at these global initiatives for launching these internet satellites that will be able to beam down not only 5G, but tetrahertz, millimeter wave radiation, I'm nervous. I think that there is something very, very nefarious afoot.
1 milliliter. To nearly 17 trillion single nanoparticles. This high density makes efficient treatment possible. At the beginning of the therapy, the nanoparticles are injected directly into the tumor. The tumor in this particular case is a glioblastoma, a malignant brain tumor characterized by aggressively growing cells. On the microscopic level, the healthy cells can be seen on the left and the tumor cells on the right. After being injected, the nanoparticles spread out in the spaces between the tumor cells. The patient now enters the therapy device in which an alternating magnetic field is produced, which is of no danger to humans. This field affects a 100,000 times alternation of the magnetic poles within the particles per second, creating warmth which is precisely regulated from outside. The warmth forces the particles into the spaces between the tumor cells, which makes it easier for them to be absorbed into the cell. This application is repeated and the thermal effect increases visibly. The particles begin to oscillate, causing the cancer cells to die either from active self-destruction or from swelling until they literally burst. Tumor growth is stopped and the destroyed cells, as well as the nanoparticles, are discharged by the body in a natural process. As a rule, the 1 hour minimal invasion is repeated 6 times. However, the particles are only injected once. The therapy is especially gentle on the patient.
So there you go. I mean, at this point, of course, for this video, they were talking about destroying cancer cells. But guys, what is it going to take for them to be destroying normal cells? What is it going to take for them to be able to expose us to some sort of magnetic field? And we know that they're also messing around with those CubeSats and causing plasma bombs in the sky. I mean, oh my God, it's just off the rails insane. I found another story. A story the other day, I just wanted to mention this because I've missed it 3 different times. We've talked about mad science and finding weird things first ever time. Well, here is a Science Alert story from August 26th. Weird magnetic bacteria could be key in targeting and destroying tumors. Again, something that can be manipulated by magnets, researchers have used bacteria that migrate toward magnetic fields to directly target tumors with cancer-killing drugs. Tumors can be extremely difficult to treat because the cells on the inside need to be targeted differently from cells on the outside. This is because the area in the middle of the tumor is low oxygen, so these inner cells have very different metabolisms to the rapidly proliferating cells on the surface. Researchers from the University of Montreal, now again, interesting, it's up in Canada, McGill University and the Polytechnique Montreal in Canada, have used a type of magnetic or magnetotactic bacteria to try to address this problem. Not only do magnetotactic bacteria migrate toward magnetic fields, but they also tend to swim toward low oxygen concentrations. And when the researcher used a small computer-controlled magnetic field, 55% of the magnetic bacteria penetrated the low oxygen areas of the tumor. So they have little handheld computer-controlled magnetic fields as well. These, quote, these legions. Now, you got to love, this is like the second time in the last week or so that we've heard something about legions of nanobots. And this is these legions of nanorobotic agents. These are these magnetically controlled, computer-controlled, remote-controlled bacteria that what? Oh, they could put into your brain. They could put into your tumors. These legions of nanorobotic agents were actually composed of more than 100 million flagellated bacteria. Therefore, they were self-propelled and then loaded with drugs. Yes, loaded with drugs. Remember, we also can have bacteria manufacture drugs once they're inside of you. These ones happen to be loaded with drugs that moved by taking the most direct path between the drug's injection point and the area of the body to cure. The drug's propelling force was enough to travel efficiently and enter deep inside of the tumors. The researchers loaded a type of magnetotactic bacteria called MC1 with cancer-killing drugs and then injected them into tumors of 20 mice with cancer, carrying the tiny drug capsules called liposomes. And we've seen that before. Remember, that's the way they make Trojan horses and get them into the body. The body will reject a lot of things, but if they coat them in liposomes, which is a bodily fat, the body does not reject them and gives them safe passage. Carrying tiny drug capsules called liposomes, the bacteria use a magnetic field to guide themselves to the heart of the tumor. We first produce a weak magnetic field, pointing it towards the tumor to guide drug-loaded bacteria and make them swim towards the tumor. A process called magnetotaxis. Once inside the tumor and sufficiently close to the hypoxic zones, we remove the magnetic field to allow the bacteria to use their internal oxygen sensors and follow the decreasing oxygen gradient into the tumor until they reach the 0.5% oxygen level. The idea is if you're able to target tumor cells, a patient wouldn't be required to go through invasive removal and could also limit the amount of chemotherapy required. Using magnetobacteria is a new way to target these tumor cells. Doctors would need to know approximately where the tumor is and then be able to direct the bacteria there. But considering how difficult cancer has been to treat in the past, we are looking forward to seeing how these new technologies work in action. And they published this in Nature Nanotechnology. So guys, this stuff is like happening from every single facet of the imagination. So now I run across this story. This was from a while ago. I had read a little bit about this when it first happened, and we were looking into the redacted documents that were filed with the FCC from Google about their new ubiquitous internet. Google is building a 100 kilowatt radio transmitter at a spaceport, and no one knows why. This was dated March 2nd, 2016. You can find the funniest things in public government documents, and there's always ample evidence that your local Congress is working against the interests of their constituency, nation, and industry controlled by the commission that they're chairperson of. But rarely, though, do you find something surprising, and rarely still does it portend some sort of experiments conducted by Google at a spaceport in New Mexico. And I'm going to tell you, New Mexico, I just saw yesterday, Facebook's new huge data center is going to be in New Mexico. In a publication released last week in March, Google asked the FCC to treat some information relating to its radio experiments as confidential. These experiments involve highly directional and therefore high-powered transmissions of 2.5 gigahertz, 5.8 gigahertz. We mentioned those frequencies yesterday. Those are your wireless technologies, 802.11, as well as 24 gigahertz, 71 to 76 gigahertz, and 81 to 86 gigahertz. Now, this is where we start getting into that millimeter wave. These experiments will take place at Spaceport America, a 12,000-foot runway in the middle of New Mexico, occasionally used by SpaceX, which is Elon Musk, Virgin Galactic, which is, I keep forgetting his name, Branson, and now, of course, Google. So good gaggle there. For most part, this document only tells that the FCC and Google won't be causing harmful interference in their radio experiments, but there are other details, save for what the band and transmitters Google's will be using and their experimental radio license call sign that does not show up in the FCC database. For the most part, few of the details are listed, and one thing that does pop out as exceptionally odd, 70 to 80 gigahertz transmitter with an effective radiated power of 96,411 watts. That's close enough to 100 kilowatts to call it such, and that is the maximum effective radiated power of the highest power FM stations in the U.S. And, guys, we're going to dig more into this Monday. All right, everyone, have an awesome Friday. Stick around for lots of live radio and lots of radio this weekend. You have an awesome weekend, and I will catch up with you on Monday. Everybody, take care.
Skateboard, and do you see what?